Hey, welcome to the Mead House. I am Jeff.
And I'm Chris, here with my buddy Jeff.
How you doing today, bud?
I'm doing good. I had a great time at the Valkyrie, though.
Yes.
Hey, what a time.
The Valkyrie is, this is, I think, my fourth time coming up for Valkyrie, and does not disappoint. Always a great, great time. Obviously, today's episode is going to be a little less structured than our usually not structured episodes. Pretty much just reminiscing and talking about
Valkyrie Horn.
Yeah, what our takeaways and our experiences and fun stuff we did.
And as always, the best thing about the Valkyrie Horn is the people you meet there.
Right.
The ideas I saw, just the recipes I saw while I was there. Mm-hmm. Now, for those of you who don't know, Jeff is a judge. I'm a steward. I mean, I don't judge. I'm not qualified to judge. Until I get certain things in line, I'm probably not going to judge. But that said, before we get into it, we're going to talk about Bacchus and Barleycorn, our sponsor.
Yes, a big thank you to Bacchus and Barleycorn. They have sponsored the podcast, continue to sponsor the podcast. The amount of knowledge and equipment and supplies, ingredients, things like that you can get for any fermentation project, whether it's a mead, a beer, a cider, a
yogurt, kombucha, cheese.
Sure, absolutely.
It's all there.
Anything you want. They've got the stuff for it. And the expertise, if they don't know, they will tell you where to get the information you're looking for. They are a fantastic resource. They're one of the longest running homebrew stores in the nation.
Yeah, and absolutely.
For good reason. They have been my go-to since I started homebrewing.
Jeff got me involved, they've been my go-to. I've not gone anywhere else. I've seen a couple places, but I've never gone there. But, if it ain't broke, I'm not going to try to fix it.
Right.
But I will say, and it's not just the fact they have all this knowledge, but they also treat you like you're a member of the family. They like the way you want to be treated. You come in the door, hey, you'd like to try this. Have you heard about this? And if you came in, just say hi to them, they'd say hi right back. It's not all about the business, but it's important to us.
More often than not only do they say hi, they say, hey, I've got XYZ on tap. You want a taste?
Yeah. And
and isn't that fun?
Makes it hard to leave.
No, it's how often do you go in there and end up shooting the business with people for like 10, 15 minutes, just like talking about ideas, what you're thinking about, what they're thinking about?
Yeah.
Every time.
Whenever I take my wife, like half the time she'll say, I'm going to stay in the car so you stay less long. That works, it doesn't, whatever. But anyway,
it's
and
true.
Also, we're going to thank all you people out there listening to us and our sponsors out there. Really appreciate you tuning in, listening to us today. Jeff's done this before, but I, as a newcomer to the podcasting field, wasn't sure anybody wanted to hear me. But I have been proven wrong, and I am very happy about that.
It is great to get feedback from so many of you guys, whether it's, email, Facebook, comments on our website, just all over the place. It's nice to have people saying, hey, we appreciate what you're doing. We like the content. We like what you're putting out. Getting to meet, and talk to people about the new version of this podcast over the weekend was pretty cool, too.
It was really awesome.
Hey, before we forget, cycling back to Bacchus and Barleycorn, if you guys want to use our promo code, MHP10. That gets you 10% off of your purchases there. They would appreciate, the business. We would appreciate you letting them know we sent you to them. Everybody wins. You get a little deal in the mix there too. So
I did forget about that. And it was just last week or so. I remembered that entire suitcase the first time, and now I forgot altogether. I'm not doing well. Yeah, I mean, like I said last time when we talked about we're going to be wheels up, it was the weekend I never remember. That's only partially true. I remember most of it. It was just, oh my gosh, when you have all these people say, hey, try this. It is so hard to say no when there's over 400 kinds in a single show.
Mm-hmm,
now, mind you, I don't think I tried more than 50.
No.
But, oh my goodness.
Well, we had to drive home from the not drive home from the contest immediately. We had to drive back to the hotel from the contest. We went to White Bear. We went to
the Bottle Share.
Yes, the Bottle Share. We went to Udapils.
Udapils, brewery out there. Yeah,
Thursday night.
What a warm environment.
Yeah.
Really nice.
I mean, I really enjoy coming up to Valk because I feel like the homebrew crowd in general up in Minneapolis is just always really warm, friendly, inviting. The guys that run the contest, whether it's Kevin, Josh, Al, everybody involved in that are,
They put heart and soul into that thing to
oh
make it
yeah,
good. I mean,
they,
they work hard.
those guys bust their butts. And man, what it's always fun.
It's
It's,
always fun.
they are always consistently happy to see and happy to, just have a beer for a meet and talk about what they're working on. And man,
And just to let you know, Josh, when I first saw him, when he first got up there at Utapel's, he looked at me dead in the eye and says, "Oh, when are you gonna be a judge?" Whoa, wait, stop. You've seen me two times now. Whoa, time. He wasn't kidding.
they got your hooks in you. They know this now,
Yeah,
so
they know. They
they
know.
know.
I showed up a second time and, oh, you're going to stay. Oh, boy, I'm trouble. Just kidding.
One of us, one of us.
Yeah. Anyway, but the meat of the day
Yeah,
is actually, I'm not sure it's a mead. What it says, it's a chocolate Merlot with macadamia and alfalfa. This was a commemorative mead given to us by Valkyrhorn for being there and being a part of it.
this is made by Bill Boyer. Got to meet him over the weekend. Cool guy.
Cool guy. Cool
He
guy.
got some hardware from Valkyrie's Horn too, a couple medals.
Yeah.
I was looking at the results earlier today as I was, just kind of getting ready to talk about all the stuff we did this weekend. And yeah, no, congrats, Bill.
Yeah.
Then let's give this guy a taste.
Okay, my sense of smell is off today. I mean, I'm not really getting anything. It's going to be a very strong fragrance for me to get it today.
Yeah, I'm gathering from the label this is a piment with Merlot grapes and macadamia and alfalfa honey and some chocolate as well. So I'm getting a little bit of the Merlot kind of notes on the nose. It's pretty light. I think I got some chocolate. I could be wrong.
I'm sorry, my smell's not gonna let me have that today, so this is on you, Jeff.
Yeah, let's get to the tasting part. I think you'll be able to handle that one in.
Oh wow, that is a rich, deep flavor. The chocolate takes center stage right off the bat.
It does, but I don't know about you. Have you ever had the commercially available chocolate wine?
No.
Don't.
Okay.
It is. I think I have been given a bottle or two as a, oh, here, I didn't want this. You can try this. And me.
There's a reason they didn't want
Yeah, there's probably.
it, huh? No, this is good. I mean, I don't know what alfalfa tastes like, except one time when I was a kid, I took a piece of alfalfa off a farmer's field and ate it, and I didn't like that at all. That was.
I assume by alfalfa and macadamia, we're talking alfalfa blossom and macadamia blossom. Those are two fairly popular honeys. I don't remember the flavor notes for macadamia nut honey, but the chocolate and the red wine are definitely like
Right there,
yeah, they are the dominant flavors here.
and honestly, they're working well together. They're not fighting each other. It's a very good combination.
They're playing really nicely. The macadamia is probably giving it some richness and some added complexity, even if I'm, kind of struggling to pick things apart. And I
Well,
mean,
there is a depth here that I would have not assumed I would got with just with chocolate. So I'm
right.
assuming that's somewhere in the alfalfa macadamia area, but this is good.
Yeah, no, alfalfa honey, from what I remember, is very light and very, I don't want to say nondescript, but it's a very like easygoing chill honey that doesn't add a lot to stuff that I remember. I think the macadamia by contrast is going to have some of the fun nutty and interesting, like almost like a, I don't want to say malty, but kind of a little bit of an earthy kind of a flavor to
There
it.
is an earthy flavor in this.
Well, and I don't know if that's from the macadamia honey or from the what I'm assuming are cacao nibs to get
Either way,
that
it's
chocolate
got
flavor.
it. This is a meat that has depth.
This is very nicely done, Bill. We're enjoying the heck out of this, and yeah, you should be proud. This is great.
All right, let's get on with the Valkyrhorn. Valkyrhorn is a once an annual event in Minneapolis, Minnesota. Those who don't know, they take both commercial and amateur meads to be judged by quite the entourage. I mean, there's some people up there. Tracy, one of my mentors, is where I met her last year, and just a whole bunch of people up there.
The Minnesota, Minneapolis, St. Paul metropolitan area has some real heavy hitters in the meat game. Just from a home standpoint,
Yeah, it was just
And let's also remember we've also got some nearby areas like Michigan that has a couple like big players in the meat game. We've got Susan up in North Dakota, Susan Grude. So yeah, no, there's people that have an easy way to get there, but there's also plenty of people like Tracy
Who's
that
from,
just make the trip out.
yeah, she's from Texas. I mean, she was saying, oh, yeah, I came up and I managed to get all my bottles here safely. I'm sitting here, wow, I was worried about taking two bottles in a car. How'd you manage to get them up in a plane? So what she kind of pats my shoulder. Yeah, I'll show you how to do that. And oh my gosh. I love you, Tracy. I really do, but I'm sitting here. The things you need to teach me are just the list is growing. Anyway, so Jeff, what was the mead that you had at any point in this, not just the contest itself, but in the weekend that kind of stood out to you?
There were two. I don't remember all of the notes for it, but it was like a ube dark that you had given me a taste of.
I do remember the notes. That was a toasted honey, almond, now toasted honey, cacao nibs, and pineapple.
Yes. It had so much going on. Something about that tasted or reminded me of what was dark about that? Was
The
it
toasted honey.
just the toasted
I
honey?
think it's toasted. I think they just toast it dark as.
Okay, so it was like a Boucher style. That's
Yeah.
right. That's right. But there was, the smokiness, the fruitiness, that depth of the flavor, and it kind of like
And the
it hits you.
smallest hint of pineapple.
Yeah, it hit you in waves though, like one thing and then the other. And there is such a tendency in mead making, and sometimes you see it more often than others, but people want to, put so many different ingredients into a mead to make it really interesting and complex. And the problem is that those ingredients get muddled. Like you don't get the strawberry and the raspberry and the blackberry and the blueberry. You get berry.
Berry,
And
and you
it's
can't decide who's what.
yeah, it's not distinct from each other. And so
Well, let's go on that segue. I mean, there was a few of them up there that we had that had exactly that problem, and they were in the amateur section. And this is where you figure things out. It's all good,
Yeah, no,
but.
the beautiful part about this is that there are people like me, judges, and people that are frankly better judges than I am, that are able to give you the feedback to say, hey, this fruit tasted jammy and I would like it more if it tasted fresh, or I didn't quite get the XYZ flavor you've got here. What could you do to benefit that? Maybe try this, that, or the other. That was one of two meats that really stood out to me. Another one was one we had at
Well,
the
sure.
bottle share. It was, I don't remember the name of it off the top of my head, but I want to say it was from a Lost Cause.
Okay.
And it was one that they made that had like a Lapsang Soi Chong smoked tea in it.
Oh, okay.
So it had a smoky flavor in it. It had the sweetness of like a semi-sweet mead, and it's really easy to overdo smoky,
Oh, is that
obviously.
the, I know this is probably pointless to people on the radio, but that purple bottle, the thin purple bottle, is
I
that it?
don't think so. No, it honestly looked like a 750 of scotch, and I want to say it had a deer like
I
head,
remember seeing that one. I
yeah,
know what you're talking about now,
in
yeah.
it. Yeah, no, that one stood out to me as, wow, this is also interesting and complex. And I guess those were the ones that were getting my attention. Although, let's be honest, there were like four or five fruit bomb kind of very fruity, very dark fruit things in that bottle share that were all ridiculously
Really
good
good, yeah.
too.
The bottle share is you're bringing some of your best stuff to share with the other people so they can appreciate it. I mean, I even took a bottle of what I've told you last time, my son's sarsaparilla. And the biggest complaint they have is A, if you're gonna put this, quote, you're gonna put this in the competition, you need to filter it. My son didn't want to, he's not planning to put it in the competition. The only other thing they have to say about it is, being his first time, he goes, a couple more days of sarsaparilla flavor.
Told you.
Yeah, I didn't deny it, but this was he didn't want to overdo it, so he but this is on him, and he said that's where he wanted to stop, and he was happy with
Yeah,
it.
he had a great first showing, and our damn,
I mean,
it's starting somewhere strong is good. And
speaking of strong, Tanner.
yeah.
Tanner, first, I think it's his first mead competition, took a gold medal in his category.
That's okay, Tanner.
Tanner,
Fantastic.
you and
Cheers to you,
Rose,
buddy.
good job. I mean, one to bring to give you a shout out there. That was just amazing.
So let's kind of just Instead of taking this high level and picking apart stuff, let's take a quick overview of what the weekend looked like for us. We drove up. It's a 6 hour drive from Kansas City to Minneapolis, so real easy drive, comparatively speaking.
And virtually a straight shot,
Right,
35 straight.
it's I-35 all the way to and back. We got in probably like what 5, 6 o'clock Thursday evening, and we ran into Kevin in the hotel
Just
lobby as
as
we
we're
were
walking
checking
in.
in. So he let us know about the Oodepills gathering and ran into like Al and Josh and Annie and Jeff, and I want to say there was somebody else there off the top of my head.
And if you remember that, if you remember seeing us there and we don't remember you, sorry. We're not the best at this. I'm worse than he is, but Jeff is.
Bear in mind, we spent the entire weekend consuming alcoholic beverages. Slowly.
But we did.
Yeah, no, this drinks were had. Sorry.
I'm not sorry. Not sorry. Not sorry. I'm gonna tell you one of my favorite shows was the chocolate cake me dad.
That was really
It
good.
was made with avocado blossom honey and cocoa nibs and vanilla, and we don't know what else because that's all they listed on the bottle. But oh my, it was like the flavor you have after you swallow the cake, you chocolate cake you just ate.
Yeah, that flavor that's kind of like lingering in your mouth.
And that's what the meat tasted like. Amazing. But we went up there and we got to Oodepels, and they had a plethora of beers they had on tap there. Just fantastic there. They had a great patio area, really lively place, and a good food truck outside.
Yeah, that's the food truck outside. I mean, you would not know those weren't Kansas City pulled pork on my
On your
on those fries.
top, what is it? Pulled pork, jalapeno.
Yeah, it was pulled pork loaded French fries,
Yeah, pulled pork
essentially.
loaded French
Yeah,
fries. Yeah.
so there's jalapeno, there's cheese, there's probably some sour cream on there. Man, it's been a few days, so now but it was delicious. I ate every last bite and did not regret a thing about
No,
it.
and I just had a burger from them. It was a solid burger, but I wasn't in the mood for having jalapenos on anything, so I
Fair. You know, if I were smarter, I probably should have avoided anything too spicy to avoid blowing out my palate. My palate got blown out by the end of the competition,
Oh,
but
no doubt, no doubt.
it does. That's a thing that happens. Anyway, yeah, no, we had a good time, went back to the hotel, crashed out.
Next day, after we had breakfast, we go out to the it was called the Lost Star Brewery.
Was it Lost Star or Forgotten Star?
Forgotten
Forgotten
Star.
Star, Forgotten
Forgotten Star.
Star.
Forgotten Star Brewery. Now, this is a place that back in World War II, they were a factory that made parts for the war effort. And they did so well, they got a star every year that they made parts for the effort, saying they were just top of the class, the government really appreciated it, and they got five. And the one they did not get, the Forgotten Star they didn't get, just simply didn't get handed out to them fast enough before it all ended. So, great place. The piece of the original factory is still standing, which is where the brewery is. Just a really awesome venue.
Yeah, I love the both between Oodepills and Forgotten Star, the tap room kind of culture in up there. Just big open places, very welcoming. You know, when we were at Oodepills Friday night, there were Girl Scouts selling cookies there. I was kind of had to put the
Come
blinders
on.
on.
That's
Like
just a sucker bet.
that's almost as given a sale as like setting out outside of d dispensary, you
Oh,
know?
yeah.
Yeah, it's
You got like 95% the same odds.
It was Saturday when we were judging. They had a like a dog adoption event
Yeah.
in Forgotten
And
Star.
Forgotten Star.
Just big open space in the middle of the brewery. That's just their, it's not even their event space that we were occupying that, but just the far end of their tasting room. They
Was
had.
just they had a whole section of dogs you can adopt right there in, so here, have a beer. You want a dog? And they got rid of some dogs.
Yeah, I'm sure they did. And, you know, the beer probably didn't hurt at all because
Beer.
I make some questionable choices when I've had a few. So
Exactly.
logic happens. I'm not saying that you should make questionable choices when it comes to animals. You should give animals a good and loving home and be responsible pet owners every time.
Yeah. I love my pets, but and then this guy, the guy who has a menagerie in his house, had the nerve to tell me, I don't want an extra passenger in our car going back as I walk out to see the dog. I'm sitting here, yeah, sure, yeah, I'm not promising anything. But anyway.
Here's the thing. I can say no to you. I can't really say no to my wife.
But no, but it was awesome. But okay, the first day was just was mostly commercial.
Right. There were three flights, and the first two flights were the commercial flights.
Yes.
Yeah, commercial went pretty well, went pretty easy.
On your end, we had no organized boxes. We were scrambling all day to get those things organized.
I didn't hear about
Well, you're supposed
till
to, but you're a judge.
the
We're a steward. We have to take care of the things you don't see.
end of the day. You guys busted your butts.
We did. We hauled and got everybody taken care of. And I'm glad that on your side, you saw it went very smoothly because we were sitting there. Oh, shoot. Where's this bottle? And you're going through 20 boxes to try to find this one particular bottle. Oh, my gosh. And then one guy walks by. Isn't that it right there? I looked at that box three times. No, and there it was. So.
Like realistically, there may have been delays or something like that, but you guys are also huffing for what, 12, 13 tables?
Yeah, no, it was about 12 tables.
And so if my table isn't getting theirs like lickety frickin' split, I'm not going to be caring about it.
No, and we've gone through judging what you do here. What they do as a steward is our job is to organize the bottles per sheet as they set them up. These are semi-sweets. These are stone fruit. This is whatever the category is.
Right.
And there's as many as 14 in our one we had.
Now, to give some detail here, the numbers you're looking at bottles with numbers on them and not much else.
And that's all they are.
Right. That's by design so that everything stays anonymous, so that when stuff gets to me, I have no idea who did what. So you guys, when an entry is created, it's given a number. And it might be a sequential number, it might be a random number. Different competitions do it different ways.
Ours are sequential as far as I can
I
tell.
think, yes. That means absolutely nothing as far as what category it's in, or whether it's sweet or dry or whatever. All of that is kind of in extra little info in the flight sheets and things like that. So what you're doing is you're taking these flight sheets and you're basically organizing by flight to say that, hey, table one is sweet stone fruit. I think that's one I had. And we're gonna need bottle 385, 219, and 187 for this flight to go out, and then the judges will decide if they have a different preference as far as the order, but this is the one we'll plan on doing.
Now, in our defense, no, none of the categories we had less than four bottles for the entire weekend.
Right.
So we organized anywhere from four to, I think, seven bottles was our single biggest one. And we set them all up, and we found out which order the judge wants them in. Now, the reason the judge get a say in the order is if there's a spicy one in there somewhere, they don't want to blow out their palate with a chili pepper mead and then taste things like peach. So we have to put them in an order, and they get to choose that.
Not even just the whole like spicy aspect. That obviously pepper will blow your palate every time. We had a I don't remember with whether I was doing a experimental batch or if it was fruit and spice. I think it was fruit and
I think it's
spice,
you had fruit and spice. Yeah.
that had a root beer in it. We wanted the root beer last just because, hey, if it's got like peppermint in it or spearmint, that can be a category or a component of like bougie
Root beer.
root beer flavors, that's gonna screw everything up.
Yeah, you're gonna taste that for the next three or four tastings, and there's nothing you can do about it.
Right. Yeah. No, you need to go like eat some bread and like chug a quart of water and maybe you'll get your palate back.
Yeah. So anyway, so we have studies of, then we found the order. We set the bottles in that order, then we have little two cups per table, one for each judge, and we set them all up and we open the bottles. And that we just wait at that point. Now, once the judge says, they hit a buzzer and say, yep, I want my next round. We fill the bottles then. We fill the cups then, pour them out in the cups, and take them out, whatever the next ones are. If there's any questions or they have concern, they can buzz us again. Actually, we had one lady, she buzzed us a second time right after I delivered. And she goes, I came back and said, do you want another one? Because I can do that, but I just delivered. She goes, no, there's a hair in this one. So we report. Not a big deal. We got a new glass, reported. But we just, and that's my job. I go back and forth delivering to the judges. And once they're done with the bottle, I cap them, I put them aside, and we'll see if we can put up some pictures of bottles of the number of bottles on a table on our website. And once they're opened and everything's cool, and they're done with their judging. We've got the paperwork. The owners, the people in charge of this thing, say, taste. Don't empty the bottle, but feel free to taste. And we're looking at all these bottles. Now, Jeff may go through as many as 8 to 12 in a given judging run. I have access to hundreds. And although I'm not going to get to triple digits, I'm going to give it a try.
I think I had pretty light flights this weekend. I've done some competitions where, like, I was the only person that knew Jack about mead. So they're like, okay, well, we have 8 meads. You're going to judge all of them with some help. Okay.
That sounds dangerous.
The guys at Valkyrie's Horn did very, they had a good judge pool. So they, I think the least amount I had was four, and the most I had was like five or six. Very, very,
Manageable.
right. Yeah, you can handle those in an hour and a half. You don't even need the full hour and a half to do the full judging suite on all of those. I took my time, took my notes, gave my
No, actually, you were pretty quick compared to a lot of other judges.
yes.
You really, I mean, there are some judges out there. We would go out there and say, you ready for another round? And they're like, oh, yeah, it's been about half an hour since your first one.
Right. Now, the there were a couple times where I saw there were tables that I finished my judging sheet and was moving through, kicking and grooving. I was like, okay, well, I've got 45 minutes before the next session. Maybe I'll go into the brewery and try that bock that they had up there, and that sounds good. I come back and it's like 5 minutes before the next session, and the table is still kicking.
Yeah, they're still judging.
So some people take their time. I try to take as long as I need to and not rush my co-judge as much as possible, because
Well, in our defense, okay, we have asked, would you like another flight now? They're saying, oh yeah, we started talking. And we sit there looking at him like, I'm going to tap dance on your feet.
this is a social event as much as it is a mead judging event.
Yeah,
So,
it really is.
yeah.
But so the first two rounds were commercial,
Yeah.
and they were good. I mean, out in my experience, commercials are mid-level, mid to high level. They're good, but they're not extraordinary as you can be because they have to be consistent.
Good to great. And the consistency part is such a bear. You got to be, not only do you have to be consistent, like within a batch to batch to batch, you've also just got to be able to deliver a massive 5 barrel batch that's good all the way through. And it is so, when it comes to just, oh, I want to add a little extra here or a little extra this to a 5 gallon like home batch, that's one thing.
If you're doing a gallon batch like I do frequently, a little bit
Yeah,
can
it's a
take you way over the edge.
right.
What?
Big 5 barrel batch though, like you, if I decided I wanted to back sweeten with Meadow Foam Honey, for example, to give it that little extra that might be a 55 gallon drum or 55, the big metal drum of honey. Like, that's not cheap, dude.
No, that's the metal is really expensive, and it's one thing to do it for 5 pound, a 5 gallon batch at that point, but when they're making 100, 200, 500 gallons, oh my God, no,
Right. Yeah.
you can't do that. So they're going to be good to great, but the part I look forward to every year is the homebrew.
Yeah. The homebrew is where, you know, weirdos like you and me throw out all our ideas and to try and get that last little bit that they push for, not just good and great, but really, like you said, extraordinary.
Extraordinary. I mean, and we get and in the amateur-y, you'll get, yeah, that's pretty good too. Okay, my gosh, please don't make that again.
It swings
To
wide.
it swings wide, and to the, oh my gosh, if you gave this to God, he would say, I'm glad I created you. I mean, that it can be that good. And there was a couple, another one I had out there. It was a little bit jammy. It was a strawberry. It was jammy. I think I'd give you a taste of
I
it.
think so. I mean, you
Yeah.
gave me a you gave me more to taste than I gave you to taste.
Well,
Just
yeah, but
saying,
I had
but
more access.
you did have more access, and I appreciate that because we kind of tag team this where I say, okay, this is the stuff that I like, or this is something I should make him taste so that he can get an idea of what this is. But you're the one that's out there like, oh, this is cool, this is good, this is good. Skip that.
Yeah.
You know, you're playing the wider field where I'm trying to like, you know, this might be useful for your education, as it
Yeah.
may be.
But it was a little bit jammy, but it was strawberry. It was really good. I mean, it was strawberry pink red. I mean, it was a clear bottle, and it was as red. I mean, I don't know how they did that part. I mean, other than food color. Maybe, I don't know. But it was good. But a surprising one we had out there was we had one that was wildflower clover, maraschino cherries, cacao nibs, and bourbon soaked duck fat.
Bourbon washed duck
Bourbon
fat.
washed duck fat.
Yeah. And that
That
was wild.
was a bizarre, and this is one that actually another judge handed to us to try. And she goes, "Try this." And I read the bottle, I'm sitting here, I'm about to be pranked. Bourbon washed duck fat. I'm looking at that part of the bottle going, I thought you liked me, but and she goes, no, you're gonna like this. And I tried, and it was good. It was seriously good. I mean, and then I learned that doing alcohol infused fat washes to get more flavor, and then they do that for X amount of time, and they add it to the for better flavor is actually a bar technique. And all the stewards in the back are going, what in the heck is this? Now, in back in the stores, I was like, this is really good. Because I thought it was really good. About half the people I gave it to were going, you're just wrong. Yeah,
It was a divisive one, from
it
what
was a
I
divisor.
understood. Some people really enjoyed it. Some people were like, what the hell is this?
Yeah.
But
The mouthfeel was creamy.
That's the what the hell is this is part of what makes this fun though, because there, I don't know how somebody came up with the idea of, you know, bourbon washed duck fat and maraschino cherries and cacao nibs.
It
Fun
was
idea.
good.
I enjoyed it. A number of people enjoyed it. Even the people that didn't enjoy it can't deny that it's an interesting idea.
I found out that the washed fats like that is actually a bar technique that's been around for a while. And when we found out about it, one of the ladies I work with is a steward. She goes, yeah, here it is. And one of the other judges came up and said, oh, yeah, I've done that. And the other said, which one? Oh, yeah, I've done that too. And we're sitting here. Did you come up with this? But yeah, it was amazing. It was really amazing. I mean, but we've talked about metal foam before having the lovely marshmallow flavor. There was one there that was bad. It was made with metal foam. They over yeasted it or something. It did not taste good, and that was a shame because it was metal foam.
Well, and you know, I only recall judging one meadow foam where meadow foam was specifically declared, and I kind of kick myself at this point because I like to make the snarky comment that meadow foam is like the automatic metal. You
The
just,
metal foam.
you just win that.
Yeah.
And this was a commercial one, I think.
Oh, yours was commercial. Okay,
I
good.
think I it was on the first day.
Yeah, so it's probably commercial. Yeah.
And no, it was like, all right, well, we've got 5 meads in this flight. We got to advance to best show for this category. So meadow foam is such a good, unique honey that you, if you know what you're doing with it,
It can be wonderful,
right, it gives you so much. And no.
but from what I've talked about with other mead makers, metal foam is best for back sweetening. Then you don't lose the essence of what it is and the taste.
You could ferment meadow foam hardcore, but you would lose a lot of the that character to it that.
Yeah, but if I'm gonna if I'm gonna if I'm getting metal foam, I'm using it for that character, so I want to keep as much of it as I can. I'm gonna ferment it very lightly, or I'm just not gonna ferment with it.
No, the backbone of that the ferment there is probably like a wildflower or a less descript honey that is cheaper.
We also saw some bizarre honeys out there. We saw the avocado honey. We saw the toasted honey. I even saw one that was buckwheat honey.
I had a, buckwheat is a divisive. We've talked about orange blossom. There's different location, different locales, and different like qualities to it. Whether it's
And entirely different flavors.
right with buckwheat, you get like Eastern buckwheat and Western buckwheat, and like European buckwheat, which is really common in Polish meads. Different characters there. Eastern buckwheat is very much on that. This is not for everybody. It has a kind of a funky barnyard character to it. I had a cherry mead with Eastern buckwheat, I think again in the commercial side, and yeah, funky, but by God, it worked.
Yeah, I mean, the skill of the maker makes all the difference. I mean, there's no bad ingredients how you use them. I like we said before, we don't recommend you stacking, 15 flavors into a mead because nobody's gonna taste that. But there's one they call the Heart of Darkness, which is black cherries, black currant, blackberries, and I think that's it.
Elderberries, I think, as
And
well.
elderberries,
This is the Kenshram classic, yeah.
yeah, Kenshram classic, and it's a dark mead. I mean, it's dark mead, and they call it Heart of Darkness, but it's good, and you can taste each part. And they're like four or five fruits. You've got to work it. You've got to be delicate. But anyway, so the second day was the homebrew, which, like I said, can be stellar, can be awful, but most of the time it's really, really good.
Right. The bar is pretty high in homebrew. There are people that are entering for the first couple times and, they need more feedback than others. No shame in their game, though. Like, I didn't have, I had a few where I was like, okay, so what you've got is a really good start, but I would do this and I would do this to kind of tweak this and make it more palatable, more interesting, more what I think you're going for here, because it feel falls a little short. Like the root beer
Yeah,
mead
the root berry.
that I was telling you about, I would have that would have swept our flight there if it was just carbonated.
Yeah, I mean, some of was that.
Right.
Because when you drink root beer, you think it's carbonated. And this one had all the right tastes.
It
Every one of them.
taste knocked out of the park. It was a little too like thick and heavy bodied. It was almost syrup, but
Carbonation would have solved that.
what carbonation would have made it taste lighter, and it would have made it seem like a root beer.
Yeah.
And I
And I saw that one. That was a 14%. It was a dangerously high, adult root beer there.
Yes.
Anyway, so after that, all that, after the first day we went to White Bear, then we went to our bottle share. The second day we did the home brew, and then we and by this time a couple of the stewards stayed back a few hours after and just organized every single box, so they're all in perfect order, and we were very happy with that. And it was a much easier day the next day when I wasn't going to drink as much.
Well, and I, as I understand it, like Kevin and some of the other organizers were also doing like some sorting and things like that within the boxes in the hotel atrium the night before Friday too, just to help consolidate that.
Anyway, so then they had then we well then we, it, for the most part after that it was social hour. I mean,
Yes.
we had a devil of a amount of just talking to people left, right, center, learning new techniques. Two techniques we learned there. One was the oil infused
Right,
infusion,
the fat washing.
fat washing. The other one is that we there was told us by I believe it was Annie, was carbonic maceration. And this is something Jeff is going to try. I'm going to try to be here with him to try it because this one really, really intrigued me.
Right. So this comes from winemaking as opposed to bartending with our fat washing thing, but in especially in the Beaujolais winemaking, which is a kind of a young wine. It's not like super young, but the idea is to have very fresh fruit flavors. And so what they'll do is create a like a tank, and within that tank they put carbon dioxide as opposed to just like the standard mix of air. And generally that tank is under pressure such that the carbon dioxide forces, for whatever reason, the juice inside the individual grapes that have not been like squished or whatever, to start fermenting in the grape.
Yeah.
There will be a number of grapes, especially at the very bottom, that just the weight of all this mass on top of it will squeeze out. So you get some like true fermentation and some like within fermentation. But it sounds like a lot of this you go to do the pressing and whatnot. A few weeks. I don't know exactly the timing on this. I need to
Yeah, this
figure
is
out.
all new to us.
Yeah. So obviously this is a technique that's used in grapes, which have a skin and they have a fleshy pulp inside. I don't know if we could use this for fruits that are a little bit softer. Like my thought was to try this with strawberries
Yeah, and
because
that's new because Anne did it with blueberries and it worked pretty well.
I would say that blueberries are probably structurally similar to grapes in that they have a thick skin and
I was thinking cherries may be the same.
cherries, I would reasonably try cherries, yeah.
I was thinking about this since we got back, and I was sitting here. Cherries might be something you want to try too,
Yeah.
but nonetheless, you need for unbroken fruit
Right.
with a reasonably thick skin. We're not talking as thick as an orange, but a reasonably thick skin.
My question is, do you need the thick skin? This is designed for, well, this has been refined on grapes, but could we use it on strawberries that don't necessarily have a thick
Yeah,
skin
I mean that's
or
what we're
like a
going to find
fleshy
out.
interior? It's kind of fleshy all over.
Yeah, my wife said it. I think she said it best when I got back. She goes, I started talking about things I want to try. She goes, "Are you getting your mad scientist jacket out?" And I'm sitting here, yeah, maybe.
I might need a lab coat.
Yeah, I've got a lab coat. He's got a burnt sleeve. I don't know what to tell you why. But the no, but that's a technique we'd like to try. Basically, you need to keep it in something airtight and put pressurized CO2 in there. I don't know what to how many atmospheres or how much pressure or whatever, but enough to make the fruit ferment without help. And then you take it out, you mash it up, and you add, I think she added it to meat after that, she
I,
said.
if I remember right, she did it all in just a standard like corny keg and added a mead to the keg of fruit, and let it kind of just get to
Mary.
know it. Yeah.
And then you filter it and bottle it. I mean, this is something we're going to try a few variations on.
Yeah, I think so. We'll play with this a little bit, see if we can't get. Like we've talked about before, both of us have taken a swing at strawberry and not been really impressed with the results.
So aggravated with that singing fruit, but
Getting a little bit more of that like fresh, bright strawberry flavor any way I can.
yeah, if it works, I'm sold.
We'll publish a white paper on that and take a little credit.
Yeah, why not? Holy cow. Now, after that, it was winding down. We had a raffle and said our goodbyes, and we left a little bit early because we really wanted to get home.
Yeah, no, you and I both have the same issue of like, we have our beds at home. We have our wives that we're used to sleeping in the same bed with. We have critters that,
Want to sleep with us and
right. It's the hotel beds were not bad at all.
no, I have no arguments, but they weren't mine. They
Yeah,
weren't my covers, weren't my pillows.
not my bed. I will wake up every hour or two, turn around, grumble a little, and try and fall back asleep. And
And now I tell you, Jeff and I've been friends for a very long time, not sure we're doing this meat thing. We were very courteous. We'd wake up, we'd grumble a little bit, we'd roll over, we'd go back to bed and try not to wake up the other person.
you're right. Yeah.
How successful we were, I have no idea. We didn't say anything. We just tried to find another position to sleep in and go back to sleep.
I don't think you woke me up very much. I don't know for certain. I just kind of recall, I'm awake and kind of reaching for my phone to see what time it is. Because at some point, we had the windows closed. It was
Our windows went to the inside of a building,
right.
so
So there was no way to tell if it was morning until somebody inside the room turned the lights on.
yeah.
At some point, it's like, okay, I can quit fighting my own ability to sleep and go get some coffee and
Yeah.
breakfast.
But and I'll even give a shout out to the live in that we went to. No complaints.
Yeah.
The beds are good, the rooms are clean, breakfast was good.
We paid, I think, a little bit extra to get one of the
The balcony rooms.
balcony rooms on the atrium. It's very cute.
Yeah, I mean, it just it, the balcony, you look into a area where they serve the breakfast in the morning, and it's just a congregational area inside the building. It's roofed and everything.
Realistically, I may have read on the couch on the balcony for like 10, 15 minutes. I don't know that I got much use out of that extra money we spent on it, but...
But it was nice. Yeah. And honestly, we used that room most to sleep in, because we were just resting almost every time we were there.
Right, yeah. We were either sleeping or kind of dozing.
Yeah, we're trying to recover a little bit of... Trying to clear our heads, sober up, get some rest. Okay, round two or three or whatever round it was.
And, you know, the hot breakfast was very nice. Very nice. Put out a good spread. They kept it refreshed.
They never ran out. They never ran out.
That was also very nice. And, you know, going into judging an alcoholic beverage for the better part of...
Solid breakfast is important.
Oh, yeah. Getting some protein and some fat in your stomach first, that's key. Because, you know, the first time I did an out-of-town, judging thing, I rolled up to the competition and was like, okay, well, I've got time to get over there. It's not going to take that long. Hey, there's a Dunkin' Donuts.
Sugar.
And you know what?
Yeah, sugar's your enemy in this one.
Right. And, like, one of my favorite donuts is a Cruller.
Yeah, mine too.
Those are super light. There's actually a lot of it is just the empty space in there and the sugar coating, and it just doesn't give you a lot of bulk. It does not.
And we're drinking honey based sugar alcohols.
Yep.
Oh boy, we're in trouble.
Well, you know, we're drinking small amounts and we're dumping and we're being responsible.
Yes.
But, you know, yeah, no, I could have planned that better. So having. With sausage patties and potatoes and eggs
and pancakes.
Some kind of another. Yeah, the pancakes, options for yogurt and cereal that I didn't partake of, but were still there and available to me. It was
solid. Well, and then we drove back home. We took off about between 5:30 and 6.
Yeah.
And except for stopping for gas and you simply stretch our legs so we could unfold ourselves, mm-hmm. we came straight home.
Yeah.
And... Good times.
Great times.
And I don't know if we want to, you know, this is Kevin's last year running it. Mm-hmm. Josh is taking over. Now, love Kevin. He's a great guy. Josh is equally great guy. I don't see a whole lot. I don't see it getting worse.
No, I think it's, they've got such a good footing. They've put so much work into it so far. I'm happy to see where things go from here. Because I think realistically, we've seen. Like I said, this is the fourth time I've been there. The second time you've been there, mm-hmm. You came the first time at my recommendation.
Yeah. You almost drugged me up there. I mean, okay, get your bags back. I'm coming to get you. Okay, right, there we go. But I don't regret it. I do not regret it.
Yeah. No, I think the future is strong for this one. So, looking forward to it.
Yeah.
Do you have any overarching takeaways as far as what direction you want to go? Because I have mine, but I think I'll open the field to you.
Okay, thank you. Well, I would like to try some of the fat washed scenarios, see what mm-hmm. I can get some flavors out of that thing. See what the flavors are like for that.
Right.
To add in, and also there's a few of the because they made one that was a jammy strawberry and it was distinctly jammy. Mm-hmm. But it was so good. I want to see if I can do something like that. And, there, you know, I would love to see if I can make some classics like PB&J.
Yeah.
For mead. You know, something that, you know, go, oh, yeah. I mean, when I taste it, it just takes you back. Like, good man. I think that's my new focus for now is trying to build that to customize my taste per batch.
Right.
Is what I want to do right now. I mean, you start with an idea, then work backwards into the recipe.
Mm-hmm. And, we recently talked about your previous peanut butter experiment. And
I don't talk about that as much as you'd like to talk about it. It was pretty bad.
Kind of like how I don't talk about my coffee meats.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that
yeah.
one.
Yeah, no. We
Wink, wink, nudge, nudge, say no more.
Anyway, I can see that coffee being the coffee, the peanut butter being a sticking point, a challenge point for you.
Yeah. But, you know, that's, you know, I recently was, right, had my wife allowed me to get 10-gallon barrels. I wanted to work to the point where it doesn't make me nervous to use a 10-gallon barrel.
Yeah.
A 10-gallon bucket. Because, you know, it's one thing to throw out a gallon. It's heartrending to throw out 7, which I've done.
Yeah.
But I want to have the confidence to go in and know I'm going to make a 10-gallon batch and say, it'll make it. And that's where I'm just trying to step up my game a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely.
How about you? You said you have new objectives here.
Well, I have 2 points, and I think I honestly was talking to Annie on Thursday night that kind of put me at that you know, that's not a bad idea, because she was talking about how she basically just focuses on doing like one ferment, not necessarily even mead, a month. And man, I have found myself getting into trouble with myself, where like I will start one project and then I go, oh, I need to do this, and get another project going, and then another project, and then another project, and then suddenly it becomes like, all right, I got some downtime today, so I need to rack this one, and I need to back sweeten this one, and I need to dry hop this one, and I need to, and it becomes a thing of like, I either have too much on my plate or nothing on my plate, and it's hard to find a middle ground. And so I like the idea of setting a goal of, I'm just going to do one thing a month, and I'm just going to focus on one thing at a time.
Well, I've never overwhelmed myself ever. Not, you know, yeah, a lot, often, frequently I do that. I mean, my record so far has had 8 meads going at once, and none of them were small.
No,
all batch. So I mean, that admirable. If you want to narrow in on one, let's see what you do, man.
Yeah. The other thing that I came to kind of
expect a medal.
Now I'm going to have to start entering. God
damn it. Yes.
No, the other thing that I kind of came away from here, and this was more like after we got home Saturday night and I went to bed and I had to, you know, I had some breakfast with the wife Sunday morning and just got to thinking and just kind of going about getting back to, you know, the swing of getting my day to relax and stuff. You know, there is a difference to me between stuff that I make myself, for my friends, for my family, and stuff that I'm judging. I don't put as much effort as I could into the stuff that I'm just making for myself. And I think I don't know if I want to call it laziness or just like, this is good enough, complacency kind of thing.
Okay, I got you.
There's room to grow there. And I think the stuff that I make for myself, I should hold to the same standards as the stuff that I'm judging other people making at competition.
Excellent.
As
I like if that.
I was submitting to myself to be judged. And, you know, it's not like I don't know, oh yeah, I could put, you know, another 2 or 3 ounces per gallon of this fancy honey into back sweeten instead of just using the orange blossom that I've got by the bucket load here. There's a bunch of little tweaks that I could be doing, but for the longest time, again, kind of, I think in the same boat of being a little overwhelmed when I get too many things going at once, I have a tendency to go, this is good enough.
Well, yeah, I've always wanted to make the best meat I can. Mm-hmm. And I go for consistent improvement. And I should more say constant improvement, because I'm not going to be saying, oh, it's 10% better, it's 10% better, it's 10%, because that's just not going to happen. Even if I can get 8% improvement, I'm good.
Right.
But I'm going to join you on that to make it good enough for judging, even for home. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to need your help in looking how to tweak better.
Sure.
Because I'm not good at it.
I think to me, the way that I want to phrase this is, I want to make the best meat I'm able and not settle for good enough. And if we need to work on getting you to the best meat you can make, challenge accepted.
Okay, cool. Well, I'm going to call this a wrap for the show, because we've covered Valkyrie, our goals. Appreciate you all being here. Awesome. And so, Jeff, thanks for having me.
Yeah.
Take care.
You as well. Cheers.
Cheers. And see you next time.
Looking forward to it.
Take care.